on Kufei Amud Aleph. And we're going to take a look at the Gemara, see exactly where we could start. I think the best place to start will be Omar Bar Ukva. And let's see if we can find... No, it's even before that, actually. Gufa. Let's start with Gufa, Omar of Chizda. Mm-hmm. You have that?
Yeah.
Okay. Ochal basar, asur lechol gvina, but gvina muta lechol basar. So if he eats meat, we don't know what meat, are we talking even about? Oh, okay, that's a question. Then he's not allowed to eat cheese immediately afterwards. On the other side, if he starts with cheese, then he's allowed to eat meat afterwards. Amale Rav Acha bar Yosef le Rav Chizda. So Rav Acha turns to Rav Chizda and he asks him a question. Basar shebein hashinayim mahu. Meaning, if let's say after he eats meat, he has to wait till he can eat cheese, then is that a result of particles of meat that are caught between his teeth, and the status of that meat, even though it's only particles, is that of basar? So I'm not sure exactly. Maybe as we go along, we'll try to figure out what was the essence of the question of Rav Acha. Sometimes, if you read the answer of the Gemara, you can figure out the Gemara's question.
Could Rav Chizda have had a different reason for waiting after meat?
That's one way of going.
And then, right, Rav.
Let's read one more line of the Gemara, and then we'll see. I have a footnote here that's quite extensive. We'll see if that helps us. Okay. So he says the following. Kori ale, sometimes when the Gemara wants to give an answer, he just quotes a pasuk. He doesn't even have to give the answer. The verse itself is clear. And what does the pasuk say? Ha-basar odenu bein hashinayim. So it seems like the Torah is considering it basar. Okay, let's see. So I have one footnote here in the name of the Rosh, and another footnote in the name of the Ran. They're both actually pretty short. It's just when you put them together, it gets a little bit long. So let me start with the Rosh. The Rosh says the following. That when Rav Chizda made the statement that after the eating of meat, you're not allowed to eat gvina, what did he have in mind? Did he have in mind basar bein hashinayim, and he's got to get rid of that basar bein hashinayim? Or did he think that, here's the lashon of the Rosh, shema pug tamo varehu kimeukol v'ein shmo basar? In other words, whatever he has to wait for, he'll wait for it. Let's say, for example, in the very next line in the Gemara, the Gemara is going to say, you have to wait till another meal, right? Se'udachriti. And that itself is sufficient. He doesn't have to worry about basar bein hashinayim. This is the Rosh's way of interpreting it. We'll see the Ran in a minute. So according to the Rosh, what the Gemara was wondering about, according to Rav Chizda, is this isur that he formulates that you can't eat cheese after meat, is that going to be generated by basar bein hashinayim, or in such a way that even if he would separate between his meat and his cheese, let's call it sudachriti for argument's sake, some sort of generic, we'll use this general ambiguous term called sudachriti, would that be enough? Because pug tamo, because once he waits till sudachriti, the tam of the basar that's stuck between his teeth is pug. I don't know how to translate that into English. Pug is like it disintegrates. and Hareu Kima'ukol and Ein Shmo Basar. So if you take the Rosh's approach, then let's look at the answer of Rav Chisda, Kari Alei, HaBasar Denu Ben HaShinayim. In other words, that even the meat between his teeth is going to be a problem because it has the status of basar. So you're not allowed to eat cheese until you get rid of the meat between your teeth. That's going to be the Rosh Hashita. However, he has here a Ran. He says, the Ran says the following, Afal pishav basar ben hashinayim nikra basar, mikomakom, misha achal basar, vishaha, right, shaha means he waits a period of time, biakach motza basar ben hashinayim, eino tzarch lahamtin, shiur sheishos. So this is really interesting. I don't know how the Ran is going to be a smooth sailing in the words of the Gemara, meaning the shaklavitarya between Rav Acha and Rav Chisda is a little bit strange, because he's saying that the final conclusion of this Gemara is that once you have this shehiyah, you don't have to worry about basar ben hashinayim. So what did Rav Chisda mean? What did he gain by quoting the pasuk habasar denu ben hashinayim according to the Ran? So I'm going to leave that as a question now, but let's just derive the conclusion. Somehow the Ran understands that after a certain period of time, he doesn't have to wait anymore, he doesn't have to wait any longer, even though he has basar ben hashinayim, right? So I'll read it again. Afal pisha basar odenu ben hashinayim, vaday nikra basar, mikol makom misha achal basar v'shah, v'akach motzei basar ben hashinayim, eino tzarech lahamtin yoser. Now, whatever that shiur shehi is, let's say the Rambam sheet is about, it's about 6 hours, right? So according to the way the Ran is interpreting this Gemara, again, I admit I don't know how to weave it into the language of the Gemara, that he doesn't address here in this footnote. It means that once he waits that period of time, he no longer has to worry about basar ben hashinayim. As if to say that there is a problem of basar ben hashinayim, and that problem is solved either by getting rid of the basar ben hashinayim if you can, which might mean kinuach haper, or alternatively by waiting a certain period of time. And that period of time, once it passes, is mafkias. That's my language. I mean, that doesn't say it, but I mean, it removes the status of basar ben hashinayim.
Do you have to wait if you remove the meat, according to the Ran? Because it wasn't.
I think if you remove the meat, you might not have to wait. I mean, the Ran doesn't address that explicitly, but it's very possible, it's very plausible, that once you get rid of the basar ben hashinayim, you're okay. But the Ran is just saying that even though you see basar ben hashinayim, you can feel it, it's tangible, nevertheless, you don't have to wait any longer, you can eat the cheese, because you already passed that shir shehir, which, let's say for argument's sake, is 6 hours. On the other hand, the Rosh that we started with, he seems to assume that no, basar ben hashinayim is always considered basar, although in Rav Acha's Safek, when he vacillated back and forth, he raised one possibility that it's harei pog tamo v'harei kima'ukol, but the other possibility was saying no, it's still nikra basar even after a period of time. And therefore the Rosh comes to the conclusion that, you know, it's not enough to wait a certain period of time. You have to add, you know, you have to add another element to the equation. You have to guarantee yourself that there's no longer basar ben hashinayim, so that basar ben hashinayim is still considered basar. Shana tova, John. How are you? Okay. Now, in the next Gemara, the Gemara is going to tell you how long do you have to wait. So we have here a Gemara about Mar Ukva and his father. Were you here, Eric, when we learned this Gemara? Not sure.
We'll go. I listened to the.
So we'll go over it anyway. I mean, for myself, I'll go over it. Omar bar Ukva, ana laha milsa chola bar chamra legabe ava. No, he says, I don't size up to my father. I'm like vinegar compared to wine. The ilu abba ki aviachilna bisra idna. If he ate meat at this time, he looks at his clock and he puts it on. You know, he clocks it in. Lo aviachil gvina ad lemachar anhashta. He would not eat cheese until the next day at this particular time. This is what we call meisleis, 24 hours. Ilu ana, however, in conscious myself, belha seuta seudasa hudala achilna. I won't eat cheese in this same meal, but l'sudas achrita achilna. But for the next meal, I will eat cheese. And here we have a gigantic machlokas, what this means as far as suda achrita is concerned. So we mentioned before the Rambam Shita that suda achrita means 6 hours. You have to wait 6 hours. However, Tosus has a different shita. That's this small, you know, it looks innocuous, but it's very important, Tosus. He says, it doesn't mean the amount of time that we normally wait between one suit and another. Let's say from the morning meal to the evening meal. Maybe they ate 2 meals a day and that was it. Because that would require waiting, let's say, 6 hours or, I don't know, whatever the number you'll come up with. But rather, you could eat Gvina immediately, but under one condition. You have to terminate your suda, meaning the suda in which you ate meat. You can eat cheese immediately, I meant to say, but on one condition. You have to terminate the suda in which you ate meat. And how do you do so? Tosus advocates two conditions that have to be fulfilled. Number one is siluk hashulchan. So he's got to take the table away. Right, in those days they used to eat on smaller tables, and then they would finish the meal and take the table away. And then he wants to eat another meal, he's going to bring in another table. Ubirik. And now also, after he takes the shulchan, silka shulchan, he needs to make a broch, meaning birkas hamazon. And then mutter. And then right away he's allowed to eat cheese, and he doesn't have to wait any period of time. So right off the bat, I mean, before we get into all the nitty-gritty details of the different opinions here, there's one really radical departure here, or debate, and that's between Tosus and the Rambam, because Tosus insists that as soon as he terminates his Suda, then he can start another Suda, and he can eat Gvina right away. So the amount of time that passed is omitted, just as long as it takes him to bench. Whereas the Rambam Shita is no. You have to wait the amount of time which is normal between one Suda and another, which the Rambam identifies as 6 hours. Or I'm not getting into detail here because it's a strange Rambam, right? The Rambam says Kishesh. But I don't want to get off into, again, there's so many different issues here. You can just drown out of, you know, wait till you see the Moreshes Moshe. I mean, it's like one issue after the other. But what I do find here is a summary of Tosfos here in the footnote in the Masifta. He says, "Das at Tosfos varavya." Okay, Ravya is also one of the Balei Tosfos. Shelo chilku chachomim b'shir zman bein suda l'suda elafilu miyad liachar asuda habsarit imsilek es hashulchan ubirech berkas hamazon mutar lechol gvina. So you need silek hashulchan and berkas hamazon.
Clearly, there, Tosfos isn't worried about meat between the teeth.
Right. That's for sure, because he's just terminating the suda. Now, what would Tosfos do about the pasuk habasar odenu ben hashinayim? I don't know. I mean, that's another question we have to throw into this very complicated maze over here. It's not at all clear, according to Tosfos. I mean, the Gemara's maskana was, habasar odenu ben hashinayim means that it is called basar. So what good is it if he benched? I mean, that doesn't remove the basar ben hashinayim. That's an obvious question. Now, from this point and on, the Gemara goes off on a totally different tangent that has nothing to do with Masechet Chulin. So I think at this point we're gonna stop here in the Gemara. let me mention to you at least highlights, if you will, of some of the things, some of the issues that I found here that are summarized. What's great about this sefer, the Moreshes Moshe, but it also makes it very difficult, is that he gives you like a hint at an issue, and then he summarizes. He doesn't even summarize. I'd say he just enumerates a whole list of like who's who, you know, on each side of the equation. So the first thing that I wanted to mention to you is that he speaks about this Gemara, Basar Bein Hashinayim Mahu. So first he quotes a question here from the Yamshel Shlomo. You heard of the Yamshel Shlomo? He was otherwise known as the Marshal. His last name was Luria. He lived 5 centuries ago. And he doesn't understand the Rambam, because the Rambam says that you're waiting 6 hours, and the Rambam says explicitly it's because of Basar Bein Hashinayim. So what was Rav Acha's question about Basar Bein Hashinayim? Did he not know about Basar Bein Hashinayim? According to the Rambam, the whole thrust of why we wait after meat to eat cheese is because of Basar Bein Hashinayim. Okay, so the Yamshel Shlomo was bothered by this. Personally, I don't see that it's a catastrophic question. Could be that Rav Acha was not aware of this halacha of waiting 6 hours. You know, he just heard from Rav Chisda that we shouldn't eat meat immediately. I'm sorry, we shouldn't eat cheese immediately after meat. And he asked him, is this based on Basar Bein Hashinayim, or just we need some sort of a separation between the meat and the cheese? But then he quotes the Bach. And the Bach says the following: what was the nature of Rav Acha's question? And the answer is, Ha'im yesh lismoch al nikur hashinayim. Is enough that he gets rid of the Basar Bein Hashinayim. So again, it's not that Rav Acha had any question about the status of Basar Bein Hashinayim. He knew that there was Basar Bein Hashinayim and that's an issue. But what he was questioning was, is it possible to resolve that issue by doing nikur hashinayim? I honestly, I don't know why the Bach uses the term nikur. Nikur means cleaning, as opposed to kinuach haper. I don't know why he switches the language. And then he says that according to this possibility Rav Acha was raising, lo nitztarich lahamtin vav shos, there's no need to wait 6 hours. Now I'm beginning to see where the Bach is taking us. See, the Bach wants to know, on the one hand, Rav Acha, as the Yamshel Shlomo points out, must have been aware of the issue of Basar Bein Hashinayim. If it was a non-starter, then what was the whole thrust of waiting? So we have to wait because of Basar Bein Hashinayim. But on the other hand, he wanted to know if Basar Bein Hashinayim is the source of the problem, and that's what generates the requirement of waiting. Maybe we can circumvent the whole issue of waiting 6 hours by simply cleaning out Basar Bein Hashinayim. Or now let's see the answer that Rav Chisda gave him. The Amale, and he responded, again he doesn't say Rav Chisda, but I think he means Rav Chisda, the Adayin, even after he cleans between his teeth, and he kore olav hamikra basa odenu medishinayim. So the emphasis here is on the word odenu. Odenu means it's still there. You know, don't fool yourself into thinking that you evacuated, what's the word I'm looking for, that you removed all the basa medishinayim. You didn't succeed in doing so. Odenu medishinayim. I think according to the Bach, if I understand correctly, the quote of the pasuk is not a halachic statement. It was just a way of communicating to him a halachic statement, if you follow what I mean. He was just using the pasuk as a means of communication to transmit to him that he would be making a big mistake if he thought that when I said, meaning Rav Chisda said, that you're not allowed to eat cheese, all I meant was clean out your teeth. Because, no, HaBasar Odenu Bein Hashinayim.
So this would then support Rambam's position that that waiting is required regardless of whether you clean your mouth or not.
Right. Now, would the Bach agree that after you wait, there's a disintegration process, which we call pag tamo and hisakel abosa? I don't know. I mean, if he does, it fits in very beautifully. It's a little bit strange that the Gemara doesn't mention that, you know. But then again, that's the next Gemara about Suda Achriti. You know, don't rely on Nikar Apeh because he's still Odeh Rav Eshinayim, it's still there. But what rely on is Suda Achriti because then it's disintegrated. Now, based on this Bach, he says that the Marshal, I guess he means the Marshal, meaning late, you know, later poskim, they say that don't rely on Nikur. We don't have license to rely on cleaning the meat between the teeth. And the Aruch HaShulchan, who lived just a century ago, he doesn't understand this Bach. He says, why shouldn't we rely on cleaning the teeth? I mean, what do you mean, a basar odena ben ashinayim? Okay, now there's another element here in the Aruch HaShulchan, which I'm not sure if I understand it. I'll just mention it. If you gentlemen want to talk about it, we could talk about it. Otherwise, I would shelve it for the time being until we know a little bit more. But the Aruch HaShulchan wants to differentiate between Nikur and Kinuach. And I don't know the difference between the two. Kinuach, it classically means, in the classic sense, means that he chews some bread or some hard, but not too hard substance to clean out the meat that's trapped between his teeth. But Nikur is something more profound. You know, it's more aggressive. Like today they have those, you know, those electric squirting things that, you know, shoot water. I think the dental hygienists, I think, advocate, you know, in favor of those things. I don't know. Because it also stimulates, it massages your gums, whatever it is. But the bottom line is, the Aruch HaShulchan wants to say the following. I'm not going to be willing to accept the Bach and come to the conclusion that Habasar Odenu means that Nikur, which is more aggressive, is unreliable. What I am willing to say is that Kinuach is unreliable. So I don't know if the Aruch HaShulchan is willing to go, you know, put his money where his mouth is and then really, you know, sort of... put his reputation on the line and say that if you do a Nikur, maybe you don't have to wait at all. The Rambam requires you to wait because the Rambam finds that Kinuach is not reliable, but Enochinami Nikur would be reliable. But leaving out the Aruch HaShulchan, the Bach, at least for Lishitaso, his opinion is that Nikur is not reliable. And that's the thrust of what Rav Chisda was responding to Rav Acha, that Habasa Odena Ben Ishinayim, don't fool yourself into thinking that Nikur is reliable. Again, the Aruch HaShulchan, Lishitaso, thinks that Nikur is reliable. But Kinuach HaPeh is not going to be reliable. Would the Aruch HaShulchan therefore derive the logical conclusion that if he does a Nikur, Enoch Yinami wouldn't have to wait 6 hours? And there is some logic to that, because the Rambam is saying that the reason why you're waiting 6 hours is because of Basar Ben Ishinayim. If theoretically you could convince us that you got rid of Basar Ben Ishinayim, then that should be sufficient. Maybe it's a low plug kind of halach. You know, we're not going to rely on Ploni Almoni to say, "Well, I did a Nikur." You know, I did exactly. You know,
but with there's a minhag, and I'm not sure the status of this, or if everyone holds this, or the, but aged cheese, you have to wait after aged cheese.
Right, that's going to be a double discussion. Is there gvina ben shinaim? He's got a whole. That's why I say there's so many different issues here that come up. I just wanted to use the amount of time that we have today. We still have another half hour to try to at least touch on all the issues. I'm not sure if we'll exhaust all the issues.
Because if cheese doesn't stick between the teeth, then why would you be waiting according to
right? And then right after cheese, you eat meat. Period. Not garnish. You don't need anything. Just get your meat ready. You know. Okay, now we have another approach to this whole sugya. So that's the Bach, you know, I call that Roman numeral number one. Roman numeral number two is the Shach. The Shach has a whole other approach to this sugya. He thinks that Rav Acha was asking a different question entirely. And the underlying principle or premise of Rav Acha was that we're waiting between meat and the next suda to eat cheese, not because of Basar Ben Hashinayim. He assumed that the reason we're waiting is because Tam Basar Nishar Bepiv, that even after he finishes swallowing his meat, he still has the taste of the meat in his mouth. Now, why that should be a problem, I don't know, but in the context of this Gzeiras Chachamim, where the Chacham wanted to separate you from meat and milk, they felt that if the taste is still lingering in your mouth, that itself should be a reason why, it's too close for comfort here. You're tasting the cheese with the meat taste in your mouth. V'lachein, therefore, based on that premise, Sha'al, Rav Acha, addressed Rav Chisda, Ha'im yesh lach shosh gam li achar sheshos. Even though the time of the basar is gone, you no longer taste the meat after 6 hours go by, Adayin yesh lo lachush le basar bein hashinayim. Which would mean, I think, that it would not be sufficient to wait this period of time. You'd have to do something else, let's call it kinuach for the time being, to get rid of the basar bein hashinayim. The Omar lo, now this again is a curveball here, and the response of Rav Papa was that, Rav Achi, your whole premise is incorrect. Your premise was that the reason why we wait is because of the tam basar. Omar lo nein, hatam lahamtana, the reason why we wait, hu mishum basar bein hashinayim. So if that be the case, then it means that the period of time that we wait solves the problem of Basar Bein Hashinayim in the answer of Rav Chisda. So according to the Shach, what Rav Chisda was telling Rav Acha is, you don't have to worry about Basar Bein Hashinayim because we solved that problem. You think that the reason we waited is because of the problem of Tam Basar Bein Hashinayim. The reason we waited is because of Basar Bein Hashinayim. Once we wait that period of time, there's no longer an issue of Basar Bein Hashinayim. It's Kiva Ukol, as we said. It's already considered digested. So just thinking out loud, according to the box approach, the question was whether you could rely on Nikur in order to solve the problem of Basar Bein Hashinayim. And it sounds like the final answer was no. We're not going to rely on Nikur. According to the Bach, it would seem, again, we didn't know for sure because that piece of the Bach we don't find, but it would seem that even in the absence of a reliable Nikur, which means that we still really believe Odenu Ben Hashinayim, we could still accomplish our goal of obliterating or neutralizing Basar Bein Hashinayim based on the waiting period. So in that sense, it's very similar to the Shach, because the Shach said that Rav Chisda's response was, don't worry about Tam Basar Befiv, just worry about the Basar Bein Hashinayim, and you're going to solve that problem by waiting 6 hours.
So what does the Shach say about Nikur?
I don't know. I'm thinking out loud that according to the Shach, it's one or the other. There are only two possibilities. Either we wait the 6 hours because of Tam, or, and that was Rav Acha, or in Rav Chisda's conclusion, we wait because of Basar Bein Hashinayim. The concept of Nikur here doesn't seem to play a role. Do you follow my point? Rav Chisda, he didn't respond, well, you know what, the problem and the reason we establish waiting 6 hours is because of Basar Bein Hashinayim and do a Nikur. He didn't add that point. It seemed like he was totally stuck on the Hamtana, on the Shehiyah, waiting a certain period of time. And the Minchas Aron, which is a super commentary on the Shach, he has a slightly different version, but it's pretty much the Shach, and he says that Rav Acha was vacillating. What is the reason for Hamtana? Is it because of the tam that he has in his mouth, tam of Basar, or is it because of Basar Ben Hashinayim? And the final conclusion of Rav Chizda was that it's Basar Ben Hashinayim. Oh, listen to this. He says, Menafkimina Liloes Litinok. Interesting. If I understand this correctly, the Michas Aaron is claiming that in one tzad of Rav Acha, which was called Tam Basar Befiv, he would have to wait, or let's say she would have to wait, right? She's chewing up the meat in order to feed her baby. She would have to wait 6 hours because of Basar, In one tzad of Rav Acha, if you hold that it's because of tam basar, then that might only apply. This is a major premise on my part, a leap of faith. Only if she swallowed the meat, then it comes up on her, so to speak. But if she spits out the meat, that might not be it. That might not be a problem. But in the context of Rav Chizda's response, that no, the issue is not tam basar, but rather basar ben hashinayim, then even if she doesn't swallow the meat, she would still have to wait 6 hours. Okay.
If the tam is the issue, why, what if, okay, to wash out mouth, but what about, or even more, eating strong flavored foods, why wouldn't that solve the tam issue? Why would you still have to wait if the tam is the issue?
You mean maybe he could cancel the tam by adding some other food?
Right, or by overriding with some other food.
Right. I guess because meat is something very fatty and heavy. And a lot of people nowadays, I don't know if it was always this way back in history, probably it were always, people who have problems with digestion, you know, try to avoid meat. Okay. That's number one. Now, haposkim nechleku, here's the next issue. Ha'im dafka v'bosar, only with regard to meat, darshinen mikra zeh, we darshin this pasuk, the mikri bosar. Because that's what it says in the pasuk, ha'bosar odena ben ha'shinayim. Aval gvina shebein ha'shinayim, lo mikri gvina. Now he's going to give some sort of explanation for this, but even before we give an explanation, let's just get the mechanics of what he's saying. If Rav Acha vacillated as to what is the status of the Basar Ben Hashinayim, which again, that might fit better according to the Bach, and we haven't even exhausted all the other possibilities yet. What was the answer of Acha? So again, in the Bach's frame reference, I'm sorry, I keep saying Rav Acha, but I mean Rav Chizda. You'll forgive me for that. Right? So what was the answer of Rav Chizda? So in the Bach's frame reference, the answer of Rav Chizda was that Nikur is not reliable. Okay, but we could answer in a different way, that what Rav Chizda was trying to tell him is that the reason why we have to wait is because of Basar Ben Hashinayim. And how did he prove it? It could be that the pasuk was not just a mode or means of communication to transmit the message to Rav Acha that don't dream of any other issue here, exclusively on the Basar Ben Hashinayim. It could be that Rav Chizda was quoting a pasuk. And whatever halacha we want to know, whatever halacha we want to establish about waiting between meat and milk, it's got to be derived from the pasuk. And if not for the verse, then we would not be able to conclude that the Basar Ben Hashinayim is a problem. And this is the approach. He's going to attach it to a bunch of names in a bit, but just in concept, he's saying that If the pasuk is only referring to Basar Ben Hashinayim, then Gvina Ben Hashinayim lo mikri Gvina. So even before we get to explanations as to why, why are we making a distinction between Basar and Gvina, we could, you know, we can pin it on the pasuk. You know, the verse says basa ben hashinayim. It doesn't mention a word about gvina ben hashinayim. So his explanation is the gvina misakelis miyad, and that's going to lead Eric to your comment about certain cheeses, which you know, if you're eating cottage cheese or you know, or other soft, even yellow cheese to some extent. I don't know what other cheeses I could add to the list. You know. Yogurts or something like that. You know, in those cases, it you know, you swallow it and that's it. I don't know. You could argue against this, but he's saying that there's no real serious residue of gvina that's meaningful and that's considered significant. When you get to hard cheeses, you know, that are processed over the course of months, you know, the Swiss cheeses and so forth. I mean, I think I've only eaten that once or twice in my life. I don't know, but I guess
there are some aged cheeses that can be very, really quite hard. And
yeah, do we buy them in
aged,
the
like 18 months?
You probably have to go to a specialty store for that, no? Yeah, these are the Feinschmeckers, you know, the fancy people. So he says that this pshat is the Rashba and the Issa V'Heter. I mean, the Issa V'Heter is a couple of centuries, a good couple of centuries after the Rashba. And it's also in the Taz, also many centuries after the Rashba, and they are going to distinguish apparently between one type of cheese and another. So again, we're not up to that yet, but it's coming around the bend that there's something called Gvina Kasha, very tough cheese, and that could be a problem. So the Taz with regard to Gvina Kasha, this is in Siman Pei Tes, he writes that Yesh Gvina Bein Hashinayim, V'mikri Gvina. So we don't need the Pasuk. You follow what I mean? According to the Taz, we're not limited and straitjacketed by this Pasuk. Oh, the Pasuk is Mechadish, that Basa is considered Bein Hashinayim. And he says, Nafkamina, She Osur Lechol Basa Achre Gvina Kasha. So he spells it out. O Dilma, or another possibility, Tzorch lahamtin kishir hamtona liachar, ke'osa shir hamtona shaliachar abosa. In other words, you'd have to wait 6 hours after you eat cheese. In this case of hard cheese. The Ramah apparently in Peites brings down two opinions about that. La'alocha. Okay, now we get to the next issue. Okay, are we okay? He says the following. Basa shebein hashinayim, right, kari le basar. Again, he quotes the Yamshel Shlomo that we mentioned earlier. Hapshat bakatuvu shabasar hoya bein hashinayim li alter mamish velo li achar zman. What would be the chiddush here that it's called basa ben hashinayim li'alter? Why would I think that should be different? I don't know. This eludes me. I'll read it again. Hapshat b'katuvu. What's the chiddush of this pasuk? Is shabasar shahoyu ben hashinayim li'alter mamish mikri basar. Oh, I think I understand what he's saying. That the word odenu is like li'alter, meaning odenu means now. Below li'achar zman. But once, again, I don't know what li'achar zman means, but whatever li'achar zman means is then the pasuk is indicating it's no longer basa. Suffolk Hayo, what was the suffolk, I guess, of Rav Acha, if I understand correctly? Ha'im Basar Bein Hashinayim Yeshlo Shem Shel Basar. And the answer was, no, doesn't fit. Let me just think about this for 1 minute. Too. That Basar Bein Hashinayim Tosma. I don't know. Das ist um die Afriachisch. I don't know how to read the words. I'll tell you what I thought he was saying, but it doesn't, honestly, I have to admit, it doesn't fit into the words. I thought what he's saying is that the Pasuk is telling you, Odenu, that only within a short period of time, which he calls the Alten, then it's called Basar, but later on, it would not be called Basar. The Chen Kasim Aruch HaShulchan, the Afli Acher Vav shows Mikri Basar. So he's not saying what I said. I thought his answer was that Dafka Lialter it's called Basar.
What's the Alter?
Lialter means immediately. But not Liacher Zman, not after the passage of time. But that's not the way he's presenting it here. He's saying that even after a long period of time, it's still called Basar. So then Odenu simply means that it's still there in his mouth, it's between his teeth, and therefore it's still called Basar. But what was the suffix here? That Basar Ben HaShinayim is what? Is Lialter suffix Haya Basar Ben HaShinayim is Shishin Shal Basar.
Without you, the waiting doesn't, you have to...
But Eric, listen carefully. He's saying that Lialter is one step lower than Liachar Zman. That's what boggles my mind. And the chiddush here of this pasuk is that Af Lialter, that even immediately it's called Basar. Why would I think that it's not called Basar immediately? I mean, this is just the opposite of everything we've been saying. I'll read it again. I'll show it to you inside. I should have photocopied, but he says the following: Hapshat b'katuv hu shabasar haya ben hashinayim li alter mamish v'lo liachar zman.
Not meet after time. Why would that? That's
no. That sounds like what everything we've been saying, right?
Right. He's saying
so far so good. Right. Then he writes v'tirates. Which I thought the word vitirates here means the response of Rav Chisda. No, that doesn't make any sense. I don't know what the word vitirates means. Somebody is answering some question, I don't know. Vitirates da sofek haya ha'im basar shebein ha'shinayim yeshlo shem shel basar af lialter. Even immediately. What does that mean? Umi achar de ikri basar. Since even immediately it's considered
maybe the suffix was whether it's even called meat at all, ever. And you don't even have to, that's whether it's an issue at all or if it's just an issue immediately and after time it's no longer an issue.
What is the af lialter? Im basar ben hashinayim yesh lo shem shel basar af lialter. I'm going to leave this as a question. Okay, now let's talk about the next issue. The next issue is the father of Mar Ukva. Right, he waited a full 24 hours. The Bir Taimo, what was the logic of the father of Mar Ukva? Nechleku HaMefarsh. This is the next issue. Hayam Shel Shlomo, again, Pirish Dahayu Mekubo Mirabosav Lahamtin Misa'uda LaSuda. In other words, there was a transmission that you have to wait from one meal to another. The Amar, and he thought, or he held, She'ein nikra su'uda el su'uda kvua. She'odam ochel rov sovo uberibui tafshilin. Now you're talking about a main meal that he eats on a daily basis. It's full of all sorts of in English the first course. It's full of many courses, right? Many different kinds of foods. And he eats it in order to satiate himself, completely satiate himself. I mean, we do that three times a day. But in those days, they did it barely once a day. Vehi suda nases me ace la ace. Only once in a 24-hour period do you eat this kind of suda that's described with three adjectives. Number one, it's kavua. Number two, it's kadei sevia. Number three, it's larov tafshilu. It's got many, many different courses to it. And therefore, says the Yam Shel Shlomo, hanhogas aviv, that's what the father of Mar Ukva was doing, his behavior pattern, his custom, lo hay sachum rabbi alma, it wasn't that he accepted upon himself what he thought was a super pious, beyond the letter of the law. Ella, that's Pirush, that's how he understood Divrei Rabosa, that's how he understood the tradition that he received from his Rebbein. And this is very nice, except the downside, this is going to be Mar Ukva himself. Okay,
but it also, the way it says, the way Mar Ukva talks about it, he seems to be saying, look how much stricter or greater. In other words, he's not just saying, oh, he was following one interpretation. He seems to be saying he was so strict. I mean, the language, he's
right,
comparing
but when you say so strict, you're right. In other words, Mar Ukva felt you could have interpreted this Kabbalah, right, this tradition in a different way, and my father, right, was very strict in his interpretation. But the main point here of the Yam Shel Shlomo, which I think is a pretty important conclusion, we'll see others are going to disagree with this conclusion, is that the father of Mar Ukva thought, he really came to the conclusion, that that's what the halacha requires. It wasn't that he went beyond the letter of the law.
One question, because when I read this, kind of occurred to me now when I'm looking at this now, it sounds like Mar Ukva, he's talking about his father, but in comparing himself to his father, he's seems to be pointing out that he's doing. I mean, if what Mar Ukva was doing was just what the halacha requires, the minimum that the halacha requires, why state it this? I mean, it seems like he's saying, my father did this, I still go be. It's almost like he's still saying that he's doing more than is required.
Who's he in this case?
Mar Ukva
himself is doing
own,
more than
right. His own thing is still not just the minimum required by halacha. It's still
maximum. It's even beyond.
Well, it's.
I didn't get that impression because again, he compares himself to vinegar, which is basically spoiled wine.
And right, we don't he's know comparing this. Himself to his father. He's paying his father, but he's still saying. I mean, because he could have just said. I mean, he didn't have the way he says it. If somebody's going to talk about, my father's like this, and they generally when they then compare themselves, he's by saying he's vinegar, he's saying his father is even that much greater.
Is his father greater because his father took upon himself a super duper chumrah? Let's say, for example, the halacha requires that I wait 6 hours. I'm going to wait 7 hours. So that makes me wine as opposed to vinegar just because I took on an extra hour? That's what the Yam Shel Shlomo, I think, wants to say over here, that Mar Ukva is not a chumri yisera. It's not some sort of self-accepted piety, but that's called misuda lesuda, because the suda is the suda with a hey idea.
But then why is that? In other words, why is he vinegar compared to that? He's just saying, the meal. I disagree with my father's interpretation of the
kabbalah.
But then why would he be vinegar compared to?
Because again, his father was taking the maximalist interpretation of the halacha, and that puts him in the category of yayin. And I can't go that far. I'm going to have to reinterpret the Kabbalah in a more liberal way, because I just can't live up to this. You can't tell me don't eat cheese for a day. I don't know if I can live that life. But he is indicating that his father was not just, again, that's what I told you before. Trust me, if your father were to take on an extra hour beyond 6 hours, you would not call him wine. I don't want to use any sort of pejorative terms, but it would be just a chumra b'alma. There are all sorts of people who take upon themselves chumra b'alma. On Rosh Hashanah, we had clairs about this. I didn't get a chance to research this, but it says, I'm not sure if it's in the Vilna Gaon or wherever the source is, that you don't eat you don't eat walnuts on Rosh Hashanah, because egos is the same gematria as chet, which if you make the calculations off by one, but anyway, that's a different problem. So we had a whole discussion about pecans and about peanuts and this, that, and the other thing. So the tape is going here, so I'm a little bit nervous to say this, but it seems to me that if somebody is going to say, well, I'm not going to eat any nuts on Rosh Hashanah whatsoever, that's a chumra bi'alma. Even the minig itself of not eating walnuts is a minim, you know, because of gematria. Fine, simani milsim, right? But how far do you go with it? So, just kidding. So that's why I don't think that if somebody's father, let's say, started publishing articles that we shouldn't eat any kind of nuts on Rosh Hashanah, I don't know if his son has to call himself vinegar compared to his father, who's wine. That's I'm just pointing out here that I think the I don't want to prejudice you, but I think the greatness, the advantage of this Yamshel Shlomo is to put, you know, to put the father of Marukva into a proper perspective. You know, nobody forced his hand to accept this particular interpretation. You're right. Marukva himself, the son, did not accept that interpretation. But still, once you accept that interpretation, it's a valid interpretation. We're not talking about a chumra bi'alma. That's what I got out of this. Now, let's take a look at another shita, right? We're a little bit pressed for time. And this is the Mardukhai. The Mardukhai. Okay. Now the Mardukhai apparently is quoting the Maharam Mirotenberg. So we're really talking about Chachmei Ashkenaz. You're talking about the Rishonim over here. And it's brought down also in the Gaon. And he says, Yesh Makom Lahachmir Afilu Bebosar Achar Gvino Mishum Shenitka Beshinayim. So there's room to be machmir even after cheese, not to eat meat, because cheese gets caught between the teeth. Just one second. And he writes the following. I'm not sure, but I think this is a quote from the Mordechai, because he has it in quotation marks. He says, "The einzer kecholek ala gemara." So you'll ask me, the Gemara says that after you eat cheese, you're allowed to eat meat. Again, he's not talking about hard cheese here. So this is something very new to us. But again, the logic is what's important to us, not just the breakthrough here. But he's saying that that there's room to be machmir and not eat meat after cheese. And that's not based... And that's not considered, quote unquote, a chumra kecholek ala gemara. The Gemara says beferish explicitly that you're allowed to eat meat after cheese. So he answers the following, the Mordechai. Why is it acceptable, and it's not considered kecholek ala gemara, to wait after cheese to eat meat? Sharegam heim hayu machmirim al atzmam al mashehu mutter. That even in the Gemara itself, we're recording chumras that's really mutter. Kimoshe kasuv, as it says, ana laha, etc. Meaning, Mar Ukva is talking about his father. Vavi motzi lachmuri anafshe. It seems that from the father of Achi, you're allowed in this case to expand chumras. Lasos mishmeres. Mishmeres means you have to make a safeguard, even beyond what the Gemara requires. So this is a whole different approach. You see the difference between the Yamshel Shlomo and the Mordechai. The Mordechai is saying that what the father of Mar Ukva did was lachmuri anafshe. That's his language. He accepted upon himself a chumrah. He realized full well, and he admitted without denying it, that he was allowed to eat meat, allowed to eat cheese in a shorter period of time. But he was machmir himself. And this is a major breakthrough, says the Mordechai, because that's going to give us license for someone who wants to take upon himself a chumrah and not eat meat after cheese, which is l'chor against the Gemara. How can you be cholik on the Gemara? We don't accept chumras against the Gemara. That's not valid. And the answer is, we see a breakthrough here. There's a precedent that you, in this context, which is called mishmeres, you're allowed to take a chumra on yourself. So the Moreshes Moshe, after he finishes quoting the Mordechai, says, "Mevur midvarav." What do we see clearly from the Mordechai? Shan hagas aviv hoisa begedus shel chumra bialma shel chumra al nafshe. The aim was eshu makar. It has no source. The inyan shel chumra. What justifies such a chumra? Hu lasos mishmeres. Vayinu laharchik esatzo min avera. I heard once a story, I don't know if it's true, that Rav Kook, the first chief rabbi of Palestine, if he saw a woman on the street, he would cross over to the other side of the street. The Gemara never requires that. But for him, that was a mishmeretz. Now, he didn't want to have to pass the woman, and who knows what he might, you know. Again, yeah, I'm talking on Rav Kook's level, but do you follow my point? So in some contexts, you're allowed to accept upon yourself a mishmeretz. Now, if you had to write a PhD paper here in halacha, if Professor Chorsky were alive, you know, John knows who I'm talking about, the Talmud Rebbe, if he were alive and he said, Rabbi Chorsky, for my PhD at Harvard, you know, I would like to write on self-accepted minhagim. What are the parameters? When is it justified? When is it not justified? That would be an amazing PhD thesis. And I think the place to start would be with this Mordechai. That you'd really have to find a source within the Gemara in order to justify that Chumrah and call it a Mishmeres. And then, you know, you'd have to define what exactly is Mishmeres. Which areas of Halacha lend themselves to Mishmeres such that now I can accept upon myself Chumras. Like, for example, the Ramah is absolutely opposed, I don't know if you know this, to eating in the sukkah while it's raining. That's not a bad chumrah. Well, what's so terrible? You know, it's raining, I'm not chayav in sukkah, but you know, I want to be machmer on myself. And the Rambam uses a very harsh term, he's a hejot. A hejot is a negative pejorative term. Why not say it's a mishmeres? You know, I want to make sure that I eat in sukkah. This is a fascinating topic unto itself. Especially we live in a contemporary world where everybody wants out from the other guy, you know, the one chumra after the other. So what are the parameters here? And you see, it's not poshut. You can't just say, I want to accept a chumra. Boom. And the Gemara says it's mutter.
I guess in that case, you could say that there is absolutely no obligation at all to be in the sukkah. So it doesn't exist as an obligation. Right. So you're not being misrepresented.
I think some of the Mepharshim say that this is the... You remember the Mishnah has a klola that God is pouring, you know, like the Eved who pours the... Right.
Whereas here, it could be that, you know, he held, according to, you know, the view that if the meat is in the, you know, that the meat, it's still, the basar between the teeth was still meat until it's removed, and...
Right.
He didn't feel he cleaned his teeth well enough.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay, so I'm gonna make a note that this is what we accomplished here. And again, it's up to you. We can now go back to Kuf Zion and talk about two people eating on the same table. He has another page on this sugya. I would like to go through it with you. Yeah, is that okay with you,
fine.
John?
That's fine, sure.
I'll try Blin Edit to photocopy it. I just, you know, this week was, you know, a crazy week for me. For all of us, you know. So we'll see if we can pick up. Okay, then?
Are we on for 10:30 today?
Today would be what? You mean Sanhedrin?
Yes.
Let me just think for a second. How can I say yes, but without a commitment? Let's see.